Who is Jesus? Written and narrated by Peter Walker. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "He will seek me and he will find me." I dedicate this booklet to you, the reader. Thank you for allowing me to share with you about Jesus Christ. I have had no formal instruction in the Bible, nor am I very clear on where I stand on many theological issues. I am, however, a follower of Jesus, and I love the Scriptures. Allow me to share some thoughts. Introduction. If you are asking this question, "Who is Jesus?" you are truly in an amazing place. You may be angry at God or not believe in God at this time, or maybe you believe in God but have been hurt. Maybe you're a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, or of some other faith. You may be in a different place altogether that even you cannot define. Regardless, my friend, of how you are feeling or where you are at, the God of the Bible, from the first to the last book, welcomes you, even implores you to ask, "Who is Jesus?" You may have many, many questions that I cannot and do not address. Really, in this brief booklet, I come to you only as a believer in Jesus and simply share some thoughts with you. My sources are my faith, the Bible, and the Spirit of God. I believe that the Bible, the compilation of 66 books or writings, is the inspired Word of God. Like any good or true thing, the Bible can be misunderstood, misused, and doubted. However, despite man's flaws in using the Bible, it remains God's trustworthy source for the honest seeker of truth. It was written by unschooled men so that it would be easy to read. God has not hidden himself from us in the Bible. He has revealed himself to us. Let me now jump in and submit to you my thoughts on this all-important question: Who is Jesus? Chapter 1. Who is Jesus? The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ, which means the Lord saves, is God in the form of man. God stepped down from heaven to be a man so that we could know God personally and connect with God completely. Jesus is God in the flesh. He came to forgive our sin and to give us eternal life. This is who Jesus is and why he came. Revelation. The Bible itself tells us that this is an unfathomable truth, impossible to understand. We simply cannot grasp this truth that God stepped into human form to save us. We cannot get this. It is too big for us. Yes, the Bible tells us that this truth, such a wonderful truth, was not one made to fit in our minds. We are told that this truth of God, Jesus Christ, is spirit and truth, and comes to us not by understanding of the mind, but by revelation to our spirits, to our hearts. If you, like me and many, try to get God or fit him into your mind, it can be very hard to let our spirits and hearts take the driving seat. But you know, my friend, everything precious to you right now in life, friends, family, joy, love, peace, forgiveness, mercy, these things are not truths of the mind, but of the heart and spirit. In fact, in many cases, we have let our minds, our understanding, hurt or damage a heart truth or a relationship. Have you ever let your head overrule your heart and then come to regret this? If God fit into my small mind or my unpredictable understanding, he would be a very small God indeed. We are told in the Bible, God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus himself said of his words in Revelation, "My words are spirit and life." Have you felt the truth of Jesus as challenging to your mind, but knocking on the door of your heart? Chapter 2, Christ's Message. It is interesting how Jesus appealed to people for their belief. He did not come offering money or wealth. He did not come even offering to answer theological questions. He said things like, "Is anyone thirsty? Let him come to me and drink. Anyone who believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within them." Jesus asked if we were thirsty, and he promised living water. This does not fit our daily life economy. This does not fit our minds, and yet it drops deep down into our soul and seems to really meet our need for something more. Does this question of Jesus, "Are you thirsty," resonate with your soul? Or, for example, Jesus turned to the crowd and asked, "Is anyone weary?" And then he promised rest of a different kind. Jesus did miracles, but had a very particular purpose for his miracles. One time, Jesus said to a very large crowd that the reason he did miracles was so that we might all understand he has power to forgive sins. He did not do miracles simply to make life better for some people for a short time. He did miracles so that we would see his power to forgive our sin and write our names in heaven. So, what was his message? How can I have this life, this rest, these living waters in my soul? Here is where the message of Jesus comes to life, literally and personally. Jesus said, "I am the door, and anyone who comes through me will be saved." Jesus did not teach about God. Jesus invited us to himself to know God. The deepest thing you have in your life right now is someone, not something nor some concept. Think about it for a minute. What is the most precious thing to you at the end of the day? I guarantee you it is a person. God is the same. The deepest truth of God to you is himself. His purpose in becoming a man was so that you and I could actually see, touch, and know him. In fact, one name Jesus was given was Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus, God as man, came so he could be with us now and forevermore. Do you want to know God personally? Chapter 3, Belief. Jesus challenges us to believe in him. This was his invitation when he was actually with people and they could see him. If they could see him, why all this emphasis on believing him? Two things occur to me about this issue of faith. One, a true friend believes in you. Have you ever had a so-called friend who is not for you? This person sees and knows you and even acknowledges you whenever you are around. This person has a relationship with you, but they do not believe in you. They have actually closed off a part of their heart to you. Can you relate to this feeling, this experience and relationship? Jesus came, God in the flesh, to be with us. His very name, Emmanuel, means God with us. Jesus does not just want you to acknowledge him. He came to have a love, belief relationship with you. Belief in one another is the lifeblood of true friendship. Jesus said, "I have called you my friend." Jesus also said that there's no greater way a friend can show his love than sacrificing his life for his friend. Number two, to see is not to believe. When Jesus was on earth, many people saw his power, but did not believe in him. Maybe you, like me, sometimes wish or even say, "If only I could actually see Jesus." The truth is, many, Even most that saw him in the flesh and witnessed his miraculous powers did not believe in him. Many times, in fact, when he did miracles, people actually turned against him. In the end, everyone who saw him, those who heard him, walked with him, enjoyed his signs and wonders, either conspired against him or abandoned him. He was killed in the morning light in the midst of everyone who had seen him. So Jesus calls us to belief, to faith, not to sight. When man saw him, he killed him. We cannot trust ourselves to follow and be loyal to that which we see with our eyes. We might be loyal for a time, as were the disciples, but at some point our eyes, our minds, our hearts will let us down, and we will not follow through. We may even turn against that which we saw and once loved. Jesus said to Thomas, his disciple, "Blessed are those who believe but have not seen." Here on earth, Jesus wants us to see with the eyes of our hearts and believe, i.e., receive, follow, obey, worship. Jesus wants a real relationship with you, a friendship. One day we will pass into glory where our eyes will be pure and our hearts steady and we will see him face to face. But for now, the call is to faith. Do you feel that you are seeing Jesus with the eyes of your heart? Chapter 4. Treasure. Why is Jesus hard to see and believe? Why does the whole world not hear of Jesus and believe? When I read through Scripture, I am amazed at how God works. From the beginning of time, despite God loving every person equally, some knew God and some did not. This is and will be impossible for us to understand, to figure out, to explain. It was exactly the same when Jesus walked on the earth, preached and did miracles. Some people fell at his feet and said, "You are the Lord." Others looked down on him, scorned him, and challenged his authority. How can this be? How can one man look on Christ and see God, and another look on Christ at the same time and see just a man? I cannot explain this. But what I have seen throughout the life and teaching of Jesus is that he revealed himself in a deep and quiet way, so deeply and so quietly. When a person truly saw Jesus for who he was, God with us, the revelation reached the very heart of the person and changed them forevermore. But because this revelation is so deep and pure and quiet, it moves past most of us without ever being noticed. We are distracted by so much noise and desire on the surface of life that the deep things of God just flow past us. Jesus told a very short parable to illustrate this truth. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field." Do you feel that Jesus is a treasure that you are beginning to see, but that many people around you cannot see? Chapter 5. Blood. The story of Jesus is incredible. We are told that as God, he came to free us from our sin, our stains. You know, the deepest of our sins usually leaves a blood trail. Blood, the very life source of people, spills where there is violence, where there is abuse, where there is misfortune, where there is death. We all have it on our hands, whether directly or indirectly. We live in a world built on slavery and abuse, and we have all either shed blood or consumed the stolen goods that cost people their blood. It's a raw and uncomfortable truth. But bloodshed is at the core of our world's darkness and our separation from God. So Jesus comes, and he wants to free us from this sin and darkness. He wants to free us from wrong we have suffered and wrong we have done. He wants to heal and restore every soul, every heart, and even the land we live on. We are told that Jesus opened the way for this redemption and forgiveness in this incredible spiritual way. Jesus took our sin into his own person and body and then died with it. One verse in the Bible puts it this way: he became sin for us. Jesus took my guilt and shame on himself and then died with it. Having died with my sin, Jesus then rose from the dead, but my sin did not come back with him. He left the sin in the grave, so to speak. Jesus took my sin, died with it, and came back with only forgiveness and new life for me. A powerful verse in the Bible describes it like this: the blood of Jesus speaks a better word than the blood of our sin. For this reason, when we believe in Jesus and accept his forgiveness, we are grateful for the blood of his sacrifice, for the blood of Jesus. Do you want to be washed by his blood? Chapter 6. Spirit. Jesus is alive, he is physical, and he is in heaven. One day you can meet him face to face. But when Jesus was telling his disciples that he was soon to leave the earth and go to heaven, he told them that they should rejoice at this, not be sad, because this meant the Holy Spirit would come to them, would be in them. You see, when Jesus was on earth, he was in man form only. If Jesus was in one village, it meant he was not in another. If Jesus was putting his hand of peace on a man, it meant he was not putting his hand of peace on another. He was in man form, and therefore limited in space and time, just like we are. When Jesus ascended to heaven, the very Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, was now poured out on all the earth. This meant that the very person and peace of Jesus could be in every village and on the heart and home of every person at the same time. It also meant that Jesus was able to actually dwell inside us, not just walk beside us. Now that Jesus has completed his mission on earth, dying and rising again to give us forgiveness and eternal life, he lives physically in heaven. We connect with him now through the Holy Spirit. When we believe in Jesus, he comes to us through his Holy Spirit and dwells in our heart, our soul, our spirit, God with us. Do you want to believe in Jesus and have his Holy Spirit in your heart and life? Chapter 7. Jesus said, "I am the door, and anyone who comes through me will be saved." John 10:9. Do you want to invite Jesus into your heart and life right now? This is a spiritual decision, and in giving your life to Jesus, you will have forgiveness of your sins and eternal life. The moment you come to know Jesus, you are on a new path, and one that is ever brighter until the full light of day, Proverbs 4:18. Here is how you can now cross the bridge from death to life and know Jesus Christ. There are two key things to do. I set these out here below, and then I have written a prayer you can read and pray from your heart. Number one, repentance of sin. You will need to repent of your sin. Yes, this is a hard step, but one that Jesus calls for. You need to decide right now that with God's help, you will turn away from the sin in your life: love of money, lust, greed, dishonesty, addiction, adultery, pornography, etc. Repentance of sin is a heart decision, and over time should be seen in your life and home. There may be things you need to cut off, communicate, throw away, turn off, give away. If you now decide to repent and turn around, which is what repentance means, you are facing in the right direction for this next step. Number two, faith in Jesus Christ. We discussed above the importance and truth of belief and faith in any real relationship. Jesus calls us to believe in Him. Jesus calls us to take this step of faith and speak out loud a declaration of faith in Him. I have written a prayer here below that you can make your own. The prayer must rise from your heart, must be sincere. If you do repent of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ, He will in this moment put His Holy Spirit in your heart. Forgive your sin and write your name in heaven. Prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for dying for my sin. I thank you for offering me forgiveness and eternal life. Today I repent of my sin and put my faith and trust in you. I ask that you forgive my sin and pour out your Holy Spirit in me. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Help me now to be faithful and follow you all the days of my life until I see you face to face. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Chapter 8, New Life. If you have taken this step of faith in Jesus, you are saved. You are forgiven. You are a new creation. This is God's truth. This is the message of Jesus. As a newborn believer, it is really important that you begin reading the Bible every day and spending a few minutes in prayer with Jesus. It is also really important that you join a good Christian church so that you can grow in your faith and in the support of other believers. If you don't have a Bible, I suggest finding one to buy. Search online or in bookstores for either the New International Version, NIV, or the English Standard Version, ESV. What I do is read one chapter a day. Maybe start with the book of Luke, and then just keep on reading. Find a good, trustworthy church. Pray and ask the Lord Jesus to lead you in this decision. Ask for a church recommendation from a Christian who you know and trust. Make sure getting to church once a week is a priority, a sacrifice to the Lord. You may have to change some things in your schedule and even in your finances to make this happen. The Lord will honor you for this. I would love to hear from you. If you've made this step of faith through my website on the following page, send me an email and let me know. I will rejoice with you and pray for you. Bless you, my brother, my sister. Until we meet each other in person at a family reunion, God bless, protect, and prosper you in Jesus' name. For more resources, please visit my website, www.1peter13.weebly.com. I leave you with this verse, Numbers 6:24-26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.